I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Be seated, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Right, I want to continue sharing from where we left off yesterday. Sorry, last Sunday. Right? Okay. Now, last time, we were talking about the symptoms and the things that happen that point to the possibility that all is not well with a believer. That is to say that a person is falling away from where they used to be or find themselves in Christ. Amen. And that is what we're calling the symptoms of backsliding. Things that when we see, we need to be alert and we need to, they should raise an alarm with us that all is not well and that something needs to be done. This person needs some help, or otherwise they will fall away. Amen. So we were talking about a number of things from the previous week. First one was bad. Why? I like this. There's noise? The hum? Okay, then can you tune this to sound exactly like this one? See, it's not. So, make this one like this one. I should keep talking. All right. Keep talking. All right. Okay. Yeah. So, the symptoms, they reveal the condition of the person's soul, do you see? And then they must make us, if it is on ourselves, they must make us careful and make us want to do something about it. And then if it is on another person, it's a sign that that person will soon need help or does need help and must receive some attention, isn't it? All right, hallelujah. Amen. So we're talking about the symptoms, and one of them is bad company, isn't it? Christian who keeps company with unbelievers is a Christian who will not prosper in his Christian life because you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Do you understand? Right. Then the next one is looking backwards. A Christian who is focused on the past, their past life of sin, life as unbelievers, life with non-believers, that Christian will also not do too well. Then the next one is overconfidence. A Christian who talks too confidently. As for me, I'll never do this. I'll never, you know, We should be saying, by the grace of God, or God help me. Do you understand? Because life is complex. Do you get it? Yes. Life is complex, and many things happen along the journey of life. And so we must be careful that we do not speak proudly or arrogantly as though we are able by ourselves to sustain and keep ourselves. But we should rather have faith in God. Amen. That God will help us. That God is able to keep and God is able to preserve us. And everything that you have been able to stay away from, you stay away from sin, from drunkenness, from fornication, from adultery, from any of the evils and vices that characterized your pre-Christian life. If you've been able to stay from these things and kept yourself, it is because of God. It is the grace of God. Hallelujah. And that grace is still able to keep you and help you pursue the Christian faith as we move into the future. Are you getting me? So that is important. Then the next one is... I don't know if you have 1 Corinthians 10, 12. I wanted to read that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Let's read that verse quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. Can you switch the version? Yes. Give us another version and see. He says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Amen. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. How many think they are standing strong today? No. The Bible didn't say it is wrong to think you are standing strong. Do you get? Okay. How many are not standing strong? How many are not standing strong? No, today. How many are not standing strong? I should go back. The other one is a better question. Okay, all right. So how many think you are standing strong as of now? Raise your hand. Let's see. Okay, as of right now. So right now, okay, by the grace of God. Okay, so then the Bible says that if you're one of those who raised up your hand, then he says, be careful not to fall. Amen. Be careful not to fall. Of course, a person who has already fallen need not be careful not to fall. Do you see what I'm saying? I think if you were walking and you slipped and fell, you will stop trying not to fall. do you get it? Yes. So it is indeed the person who thinks they are standing who must be careful lest they fall. Amen. So if you think you are standing, if you think you are strong, if you think you are surviving, then be careful so that you do not fall. Amen. It says here, Satan laughs at boasting Christians. Yes, because when Satan sees that a Christian is boasting, then he can see a Christian who probably has areas of his life where he is not being watchful over. Do you understand? Yes, when you are a boastful Christian, you are inviting Satan to tempt you in certain areas. Do you get it? Yes. But that doesn't mean you should walk in fear of falling. Just walk cautious of falling. Do you understand? But not afraid of it, but
being careful that it should not happen
to you.
Amen. And that will be a blessing. And then the next one is stubbornness. Stubbornness. Stubbornness is when a person, you know, does not heed to counsel. When you don't listen when you are spoken to. And when you have to be spoken to over and over and over and over again before either a small thing makes sense or before you agree even to what is being said. Do you understand? Yeah. And that's a stubborn person. And the Bible says that a backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. What he thinks is the only thing that makes sense to him. The way he sees things is the only thing that makes sense to him. You know, and that's a sign of a backslider. When you visit somebody and you try to counsel the person, even to come to church, and the person has all sorts of arguments and all sorts of excuses. And you know, when you go this way, they go that way. When you go this way, they go that way. I mean, and the person is, and there's nothing you can say that sort of makes the person yield and see that, you know, I'm falling away or that my life or love for God is going down and therefore I need help. Are you getting it? Yeah, and that's because they are backsliding, do you see? And the Bible is against stubbornness. The Bible says stubbornness is like witchcraft. Yeah, I think you should see it. Do you want to say it? First Samuel? First Samuel chapter number 15 and verse 22. First Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Can you see that? Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Wow. Can you see that? Yeah. So sometimes you don't become what you are supposed to become because of your rejection of the word of the Lord, counsel, advice that God sends in your pathway just to help you, and just to guide you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and it says here that to hearken, that means listen, is better than the fat of rams. That means, you know, what Samuel is saying here is that instead of trying to make a whole lot of sacrifices for the Lord, just obey the simple thing God has told you to do. You get it? Because often, sacrifice is offered as a compensation for a lack of obedience. Do you get it? It's like, well, I know that I'm still doing this or I'm still living like this, you know. I know God has been speaking to me about maybe breaking up or leaving this relationship that does not honor him. And, you know, I'm still in it. So God knows that's my area of weakness, you know. So anyway, the church is looking for a new microphone. I'll buy it. You get it? I'll buy the microphone for the Lord because the Lord himself knows that as for this girl, that's my weakness. So I'll carry on like that. But anyway, I mean, to show the Lord that I'm still, you know, a fan of his, I want to buy his microphone for the church. Do you get it? Yeah. It's a kind of bribery. Bribing God to sort of, you know, turn a blind eye on this matter. Just, can you not just walk on, Lord? Just leave this matter. I'll buy you a microphone. You get it? Yeah, so that's what it becomes. And then it just continues. Lord, what are you saying? That has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice. So if you ever have to choose between obeying what God is saying and doing something sacrificial for him, just obey what God is saying and leave the sacrifice. Do you see? Yeah. Leave. God prefers that you obey him and rather than to leave the sacrifice. You get it? Because, and I think it's easy to see how that can be the case. Because when you ask someone for something, it is likely what you need at the time. Do you get it? It is more likely that what I request from you meets. It is more likely that what I request from you meets my immediate needs than what you on your own offer to me. True or false? Yeah. If I walk up to you and I ask you for water, it is more likely that giving me water will help me at that time a lot more than the donuts that you had in mind, that, you know, you've got some extra donuts and you want to bring some to me. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see me, perhaps you're even hanging out there waiting for Apostle to come. And then as Apostle is crossing the road to come to church, oh, Apostle! Then you start arranging your donut box and everything. And then you sprinkle some last minute sugar on it. And then you offer it to me at the door. But I was at this fantastic donut shop this morning, and I couldn't help but remember you. You see, well, God bless your remembrance. God bless your remembrance. Do you see? But I don't think that when I'm on my way into church and I'm thinking about my message and just thinking about God and that sort of thing, a donut is one of the things on my mind at that time. Do you see what I'm saying? So just think about it. That's why if you ever have the opportunity for someone to tell you what they want, try to do that. Do you see? Because you will likely please them far more than you doing what you think could be a blessing to them. That's always second to knowing what they really want. When you don't know what they want, then you are welcome to take a guess and do what you think will be a blessing to them. But when they tell you what they want, in other words, if on my way here I even send you a text message or call you and I say, wait for me with a bottle of water at the door, that should be the best thing you must do. And your whole focus must be on how to get me that bottle of water, because that will meet my needs far more than the donuts that are in your bag. What do you think? How many feel like some donuts this morning? Yes. I knew it. Amen. So people feel that there are some things that God likes. Sacrifice. God likes sacrifice. God likes tithe, offerings. You know, doing something for the Lord. But what? Giving to the poor, yes. But one of the things, or what God has told you to do, which you continue to hear in the preaching. And usually when God is talking to you about something, you hear it and see it everywhere. Every preaching means that to you. It becomes the dominant theme, the dominant language. You hear it in every message. You see it everywhere. Even you are driving in traffic, you see an ad and it's speaking to you. It's fantastic. Do you get it? So you can't ignore that and say that you're going for all night. Because God seems to like all night. God likes it when people stay up all night for him. All those things are our human sacrifices that we make and offer to God. But if God should open his mouth and tell you what he wants, don't turn that down. So this one, he said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. A rebel is a witch. Yeah, every rebel is a witch. So next time you're rebelling, just consider that you're practicing witchcraft. Do you see? You might as well get a broom. Broomstick and fly on it. I don't know, these days the modern witches, they don't fly on broomsticks. They use what? A car. They drive. But the fairy tale witches used to ride on broomsticks and they would just be flowing around. They used to wear pointed hats and so on. These days the witches don't wear these things. Yeah. Right. So you see, he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Do you see? It means he didn't receive the word. Didn't receive the counsel. Didn't receive the advice. You have rejected the word of the Lord. May God help us. Amen. Not to reject his word. Because his word is our greatest privilege. May God deliver us from stubbornness, hardness. May he make our hearts tender. Hallelujah. May God make us very tender towards things that pertain to him and anything that is tending towards his will and his word. In Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Then the next one is Christian surprises. Christian surprises, which we also talked about last week, isn't it? That one of the things that causes people to fall is what we call Christian surprises. Amen. That's about people getting so shocked by what they see and hear, either in church or concerning church people, or something they experience from the church that they are so shocked they fall away. Do you understand? Yes. And in church life, we must expect surprises. Amen. We must expect Christian surprises. We must expect that there are things that may happen that we didn't expect to happen. And we must be so firmly anchored to Christ that we are not bumped off by anything that we did not expect to happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. We must not be surprised when, let's say, we are not treated as we expected to be treated. Do you understand? Yes. Don't be so surprised and so disappointed that it bumps you off. Because we live on earth, and the earth is filled with humans. And humans are flawed and frail. Do you see? And easily lend themselves to behaviors and things that will not always please the other person.
Do you see?
Yes. And some of the things, frankly, are sinful, in fact. Things we shouldn't be doing, and we find ourselves doing them. Do you get it? So when you see a Christian brother or a Christian sister behaving in an unbecoming way, don't be so shocked that it causes you to lose your own balance.
You get it?
Yeah, it causes you to lose your own balance. Because sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes you are so surprised that you lose your balance, and then you rather fall. You get it? Say you're walking in an alley and someone pops in and says, hey! You get it? Then you start to fall. Before you know it, your high heel shoes have let you down. While the person who surprised you is standing. You get it? Yes. It happens all the time. The source of the surprise survives it. And then you, who is surprised, are the one who falls because of their act or because of their action. Are you understanding me? So let's be careful. Let's grab hold onto the word so that the word becomes our anchor. The Apostle Paul encourages us to follow him as he follows Christ. Do you understand? That means if he's not following Christ, we must not follow him. Do you understand? The fact that you are in the convoy doesn't necessarily mean you don't know where we are going. Do you see? Yes. That's why whenever we're moving in a convoy, everybody must have the address too. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. So I may be following you, and then you are following someone, and the presumption is we're all going to the same destination. But sometimes people have ideas on the journey. Do you get it? Freaky ideas that were not part of the plan originally. Do you see what I'm saying? So we may be in the convoy, then suddenly someone feels like, you know, let's pass here and get some tacos and then something like that. You get it? Yeah. Now we are not all a part of that taco experience. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's why everybody must have the address too. And in Christ, that is how it is. Everyone has the address, and everyone must make sure they have the address for themselves too. Do you understand? Yes. But it is advantageous for us to go in the convoy. I always believe in moving together if we are around together. I always believe in let's go together. Because things can happen on the road. Yes, things can happen on the road. And recently when I was in Ghana, well, it was one of the things I loved the most when at night, I mean, when the services were at the Jesus Savior of the World Square, you know, after that there would be meetings and everything. And Prophet wouldn't leave till everything is done. And then he makes sure that he leads everybody who came in a car, leads them down the mountain himself. Wow. Yes, exactly. Because it would be very foggy at that time of the night. I'm talking 2 a.m., 3 a.m., sometimes 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Yeah, and it could be it's very foggy. Do you get it? Yes. And so, I mean, the wisdom is that it's safer to follow someone. So he would take the lead, you know, and slowly guide everyone down the mountain until we are all in a safe place, which is a beautiful thing. Do you understand? Now, sometimes when you do that, it means the convoy will be slower. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. But it's safer to stay in it than to, you know, you call that alikiza. Alikiza. Alikiza means, you know, alikiza. Yeah. Yeah. The adjective is alikizarik. Alikizarik manner. It means, you see what I'm saying? There are some people who are very impatient, so they're just into alikizarik moves, and then they just start to move. But patiently be part of it. Do you see what I'm saying? But I'm talking about people who, as we are all trying to serve God together, make a detour and make some move. Do you see? And I'm saying that when people make such alikizarik moves in their Christian life, you don't have to join them. Do you see? Neither do you get so surprised that they decide to get tacos that you park your car and just be staring at them. You will not continue the Christian life because you are just so shocked that they want tacos at this time. No, you shouldn't be so surprised. You should just move on. Just move on. As long as the convoy is continuing, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep following Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, the reality is that some of those who seem to depart from the faith or who take those side journeys and so on, when they are through, they come back and join the line. And some of them will actually join and then they pass and go ahead. Do you see? Yeah. So don't be so surprised, because there can be surprises in church. I must tell you. Hallelujah. There must be surprises. Surprises of pastors falling. Pastors, leaders, church leaders, deacons, elders, different people doing all sorts of things. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. If you hear anything like that, it wouldn't be the first time. It's been happening since the days of Apostle Paul. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you with me?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. It is reported commonly that there's fornication among you. Can you see that? Do you know who the author of this is? Apostle Paul. So they were fornicating back then. So fornication is not a modern trend. It's not a feature of modern Christianity. Do you understand? Yeah. Wild ones. So look at it. And such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles. That means that even in fornication, they are greats. Do you get it? They are greats. They're just like fornication is like the color blue. There are shades of it. Do you see the thing? Yeah. And he says, this type of fornication I've heard about is not even, like, even among the Gentiles, it's not even so common to people who don't know God, that one should have his father's wife. Why is he writing about it? Because it's a serious matter in the church. And this is happening in the church. I don't know if you know that Corinthians is about church. He's not like writing to some brothel or some place. Caitlin, do you think he's writing to a brothel or someplace like that? No, he's writing a letter to the church. Do you see? Yeah. That's two verses before that. He's talking about, for the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. Do you see? And then just after that, he says, it is reported commonly. Wow. You see, And in verse 2, it says that the people are puffed up and have not rather mourned. Do you see? That means the one who has done it, it doesn't feel like they've done anything wrong. And they rather think that you who is addressing it, you are too much. Why? Why? You are holier than thou. Are you the only holy person in this place? Abba, why? Don't we have the power to do what we want with our bodies? It's our bodies. It's our human right. Do you see? Yeah. This is what's in the church back then. It's not new at all. You see, but out of this same church and out of Apostle Paul's letters to this same church, Christianity has been blessed so much. Because in this church where there was fornication, see, you just fast forward and you go to chapter 12. Then it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Same church. Do you get it? It's a church of fantastic things. Fantasia. Do you see the thing? Yeah. In the same church, he said, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols and so on. Then he said, now there are diversities of gifts and the same spirit and so on and so forth. In fact, in the next chapter, or chapter 14 rather, you know, you see them prophesying and speaking in tongues. Yeah. And Paul is trying to sort out the confusion that is happening when they come and they speak in tongues. Do you see? Because people will be prophesying. Everybody will be, and everybody has a prophecy. So they all be prophesying around at the same time. You know, this is and with the wild fornication in that same church. I don't know if they had stopped by then. Do you get it? But all I'm saying is that the fact that there was a problem in the church doesn't make it a bad church. Do you understand? And neither does it make it, this is an evil place. No. The Spirit of God is also in that same place. Do you see? Yes, the Holy Spirit. And it's through that church that we learn everything we know about the gifts of the Spirit comes from Paul's teaching to the same Corinthians. Are you getting it? So the act is evil and it's wrong, but the church is good. It's the body of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we must not be so shocked that it blows us off our feet that we cannot survive or stand on our own two feet as Christians. Do you get it? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. That which has been is that which will be. Do you get it? Yes, there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything? Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Can you see that? Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us. Can you see that? There is nothing so new. So new. Right? Doesn't mean you should accept it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about your faith. I'm talking about you not backsliding or sliding out of the faith because you encountered something that you didn't expect about someone that you didn't expect to do that, who did something you didn't expect him to do in a way you didn't expect him to do it. Hey. So your surprises are multiple and on multiple levels.
Do you get it?
Yes. That you didn't expect it in such a place, by such a person, and to such an extent. And in such a way. At such a time. Do you see? It's too much for you. So you are now deciding to go to hell because you have been surprised. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm not saying that it is right. You get it? I'm not saying you should go and fornicate when you finish it. There's nothing new under the sun. Apostle Joel told us that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. As you put on your clothes, he said that there's nothing new under the sun. That which has been is that which was done, right? It's what we have done. No, no. Should do that. You didn't get the message. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's be strong. Amen. Sometimes people are surprised by even what the church does not do. Do you get it? Yeah. Maybe you had your expectations and then the church did not fulfill those expectations. I thought that maybe after being in the church for some time, by this time or when I went to the hospital, then the church would come and visit me. And nobody came. So, wow! In this entire church, nobody came to visit me? Really? Nobody missed me enough to come and visit me? Wow, what a surprise. Then you find people backsliding. Do you see? Yeah, they are so surprised at what happened or what the church didn't do that they are just blown away. You get it? And that should not be your story. Which actually leads me to the next point, which is being offended. Being easily offended. Being easily offended. Being easily offended. Because that's one of the surprises that happens. Do you see? Or one of the things that happen in the church. And being easily offended in the church will cause you to backslide. Hallelujah. So it is important that in Christ and in the church, we must not wear our offense guards, you know, just ride on our hands. Because in the church, we will be offended. Amen. We will be offended. Let me show you a verse. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Jesus said unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Do you see that? It is impossible, but that what? Offenses will come. Yeah. Then he says, but woe unto him through whom they come. Woe unto him through whom they come. Right? Then the next verse, it says, it will be better. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones.
Do you see that?
Right. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again unto thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him.
Then the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith.
Hey, Lord! Increase our faith. If this is what you are asking us to do, Lord, then increase our faith. Help my unbelief. Multiply my faith. Hallelujah. Do you see what is happening? Yes. So, you see, the offense has 2 sides. And Jesus is talking here a lot about the one through whom the offense comes. Do you get it? And he's saying that that person will not go scot-free. Do you get it? Yes. That we should be careful. People who offend or take advantage of God's little people, or people of little faith or weaker faith, etc., says we need to be careful. Right. But the other side of it, he's also giving us counsel on the one who is receiving the offense. Do you get it? And the first counsel is to know that it can't be helped. Which is that it's impossible for you not to be the subject, or the object rather, of an offense. Do you understand? He said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. It is impossible. He said, I wish it was not the case. I wish we could promise everybody an offense-free life in the church. Offense-free life in the marriage. Offense-free life everywhere. We wish we could do that. Do you understand? Yes. Even in the marriage situation where people have made vows and have said, I promise to be to you this and that, and I'll be this in sickness, in death, to the hills and back, up the mountain, down the valley, in the winter and the summer, I promise to be there. Say, I do. I do. It doesn't even matter what the pastor says. I do anyway. Yeah. Even in that situation, offense continues. How much more in the church where nobody has made a vow? Did anybody make a vow to you? Tori, has anybody made a vow to you in this church not to offend you? Nobody has made a vow. Hallelujah. So we must be careful about church offenses. When the devil wants to drive people away from the presence of God, one of his favorite tools is the tool of offense. Just make them offended. And the devil makes people offended not by generating the cause per se, but by rehearsing the offense to you. Do you understand? Yes. And dissecting it, you know, to you. You see, yes. And making you see the entire anatomy of the offense. Do you see? Yes. And breaking it down so you can really see. So even things that didn't occur to you when the thing happened, later on you realize, this is it. This is why. You see. Yeah, I now understand why even that other guy left. Yeah, that's the post-mortem. That's the post-service analysis of the matter. Do you get it? Yes. Sometimes something happens, or someone says something, someone does something, and immediately you feel, I don't like this. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't like this. Something about it, I don't like what she said, or I don't like what he said, or I don't like how he rebuked me, or I don't like who was there when he said it, etc. You know, fine. But that often is not what drives people away. It's not that thing. It's the autopsy. It's the post-encounter autopsy that occurs after, which happens in the car, on the way home, at the shopping mall, at the taco store. Do you see? On the phone. Do you see? Yeah. And then the analysis that goes on after, before you know it, something that happened, which was supposed to be something very small, you see the thing just growing and growing and growing. And soon that little thing becomes the reason why a big person like you, established person like you, who has been in the church for years, would turn around and leave the church over something that was or started as a small thing, but which has been watered and watered and watered, and which has matured and grown, and sometimes even given birth to babies. Yes, right in the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So beware of church offenses, because as you can see, it's Jesus who said it's impossible. Do you understand? Yes, he said it's impossible. And so he continues to give the counsel that, don't worry, I'll deal with the one through whom the offense came. That's up to him and the person. Do you understand? But for you, his next counsel is that, be ready to forgive. Do you understand? He said, be ready to forgive. If the person, he says, you must rebuke the brother who trespasses against you. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you 7 times, that means if he does it again and again and again and again. You get it? So every unpleasant encounter you experience from anyone, always remember that the person has 6 more. 6 more chances. 6 more chances. Huh, Pastor Charles? It's too much. Increase our faith. Yes. If you don't know what to say, just say, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. Yes. So if you don't like what happened, get ready for 6 more. 6 more. Yeah. What is painful is that after each one, they apologize. Do you understand? Yes. Because they says they repent. They repent. Then you say, that's not true repentance. Because if you truly repented, why are you doing it again? But Jesus is saying it is possible for someone to repent and still do it again. Yeah, these are the words of Jesus Christ. So for your protection, Jesus has shifted the survival to you. He says, you must rather be prepared to forgive rather than invest in the person stopping the offense. Invest rather in your forgiveness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Invest rather in your ability to forgive. Invest rather in that, because that's who you control. between the two parties, the offender and the offended, you being the offended person, that's the one you control. What I mean is you have access to the buttons on the one who is being offended. But you don't have access to the buttons on the one who is offending you. You don't. So to attach your continued attendance at church and your continued survival in the faith, to attach that to someone whose buttons you don't have access to, is a mistake. Do you see? Yeah. It's a mistake. You will never be able to control that. So what you can control is what the Lord has spent time to counsel us on. Do you understand? Which is how we respond to what is done to us. Do you get it? Not what is done, but how we respond to what is done. How are we supposed to respond? He said we are supposed to forgive. Yeah. And in my life as a pastor, I have seen how many different things have happened or can happen to church people that causes them to backslide. Yeah, causes them to backslide, causes them to leave the church. You know, often the bait that the devil uses to get people out of church is the line number one. This is not the only church. That's line number one. Yes. That's the first one. Do you understand? Yes, which is the truth. Do you get it? And that's why it's easy to fall for it. But what he doesn't discuss is whether you will actually even go to that church. He throws that line out to get you out. But whether he will leave you alone to go and join that other church itself is another thing. But it's like, let's come to that later. Let's get him out. Yes. Because even when you were here before you were offended, you were not coming to church so regularly. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that you yourself have a problem with that? Do you understand? Those demons that keep people from going to church, do you think they have retired? They have not retired just because you left that church. No, they are not after your membership of this church. They are after your following of Christ. They are after your life in Christ. Do you get it? And when you leave this church, fine. They are happy because they don't have to take the Uber to come here anymore. But wherever you are going, they are following you. Because they don't want you to serve Christ. And it won't stop here. They want you to leave the faith. They want to destroy your life. Demons are assigned to all of us to frustrate our Christian lives, to frustrate our faith in the Lord, to cause us to backslide and stop following the Lord so that they can now take us over and destroy our lives properly. That's the assignment of demons, and to bring us all eventually along with them to hell. That's the demonic agenda for each of our lives. So it's not about just this church. And in any other church that you attend, if they read the same Bible, this will also be true. Jesus will be telling them also that it is impossible, but that offenses happen. Amen.
Amen.
So what we have to get better at and become good at is the art of forgiveness. That's what we need to become good at. We need to get better at how we handle offenses. Do you understand? We need to become good forgivers. Good forgivers. Good forgivers. Good forgivers. Amen. We need to become what? Good forgivers. We need to be able to forgive our brother and our sister, our pastor, our church leaders, the church itself. You need to forgive the church. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yes. Yeah. And sometimes I get surprised myself. Do you see? Yes, surprised at who is leaving the church because of what reason. Do you see? Yeah. And I see that people are forgotten. Do you see? One of the other symptoms is forgetfulness. Yes, because people have forgotten. Do you understand? They have forgotten. They have forgotten the good times. You see, we are not only supposed to forget the bad experiences, but we're also supposed to remember the bad experiences, but we're also supposed to remember the good experiences. Are you getting it? Yes, we must also remember the good experiences. When someone does something bad to you, or you have a bad experience with someone, fine, it's okay. But we must also remember the good experiences that we have had with that same person. Do you get it? Yes. Otherwise, then we allow offense to act on us like poison. You know, one thing about poison is it doesn't care how long you've been eating the right things. Do you understand? Yeah. Poison doesn't care that generally you have eaten good, you are a healthy person, you eat only healthy stuff. You get it? Yes, it will kill you just one time. You know, just you make one mistake and it will erase all the history and just kill you now. Do you see? And some of us, our relationships with people are like that. We act like poison. We erase 2 years, 3 years of relationship. You've been relating with someone successfully for 3 years, 4 years, we've been together 5 years, 6 years. Then this one thing you did must erase everything and it ends everything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not saying that it didn't happen. It did happen. But what about the years of relationship? What about the years of good experiences that we've had? What about the long-standing friendship relationship? We went to school together. We moved to the same city together. We lived together. We did this. Your children are my children's friends. This, that. All of that doesn't mean anything. This one thing that has happened is supposed to be empowered to erase and cancel everything. No. That is not how it's supposed to be. Are you getting the picture? Yes, that's not how it's supposed to be. And yet you find people who are prepared to let everything go because of one small thing that happened. Are you understanding me? Because of one small thing that happened. People are with us in church, but we are not allowed to forget anything. We are not allowed to say anything that concerns them. We're not allowed to rebuke. We're not allowed to correct. We're not allowed to instruct in righteousness. We're not allowed to miss their birthday. And if we remember their birthday and we pray, we better make the prayer intense. And long enough. Huh? Yes. We're not allowed to call people with oil. With oil. Yeah. And even the oil, it should be olive oil virgin, extra virgin. If we don't use, if it's not virgin enough, it's not a good prayer. Yeah. So we are in the church, but people have given us a whole lot of rules. A whole lot of rules. We are not allowed to preach too long. We are not allowed to preach too short. We are not allowed to visit. We are not allowed not to visit. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we are not allowed not to visit, and we are not allowed to visit. We've been having visitations. You've seen how difficult it is even to get some. Yes. If you are now offering yourself, I want to come and just spend a little time with you. And you believe that people will not pick up their phone, people will not, and they'll tell you some story. I'm very busy, I'm too busy, I am this, I'm that, I don't want you to come. And yet the next breath, the person is also saying, and nobody has visited me. Wow. Our rules are a lot. Do you get it? You see, it's unfortunate, but that's how it is. Do you see? But learn not to hold a grudge against the church. Amen. Against the church. Against the church members. Against the leaders. Against the pastor, and even against Christ. There are some of us whose grudge is against Christ. The person you are angry with is God. Yes. And I know that, because you know, sometimes when you go up the ladder and you can't see who to blame. You get it? Yes. Or when you, if you're a person of faith and spiritual maturity, you will also understand that a lot of things don't happen if God would not allow it. So even though you know who did it, you also are able to think. Immature people just stop at the person who did it. But a more mature Christian knows that if God had not allowed it, she couldn't have done it. Do you understand? So that's where the thing escalates to God. And they start to think, it is God who has allowed this person to do this. And so it's about you, God. How? Is that how you are? Yes. You see, one pastor told me he lost his wife. And he was telling me that he told God that, is that how you are? You see, this is why a lot of people don't serve you. he said he told God that. He said, this is why a lot of people don't serve you. Because me, I've been serving you and you killed my wife. Yeah. He said, when a lot of people don't want to serve you and you killed my wife. This is why a lot of people don't like serving you. In the book, in the backsliding book, I'm sharing from Prophet Bishop Tech, tells the story of how he had an accident. He was on his way to preach somewhere, and then he had an accident. And he said when he got out of the accident alive, he was upset with God. Because he was saying to the Lord, Lord, a lot of people don't even want to come here to preach. Now I get in a car and I drive all the way from my city and I'm coming here to preach. And you want to kill me? Yeah. You see, so it's very easy to get upset with God. Very easy. When someone says it, it sounds like, oh, how can you be upset with God? But it's a place you can come to. When you can't find a human being to hang the blame on, you start to ask God why. And sometimes also when people realize they can't blame anybody but themselves, it still bounces to God. Because you start saying, why do you make me like that? Why do you make me like that? Because I can't help it. I hate this thing I do, but I am trying to stop and I can't stop it. Why did you make me like that? I blame you. And they are upset with God. Hallelujah. But don't be upset with God. Do you understand? God is an ally. God is our friend. God is on our side. No matter what happens, no matter what we do, God is for us. Can I have an amen? Say, God is for me. God is for me.
Say, God is for me. God is for me. Hallelujah. God is for you. God is on your side. No matter what, God is on your side. The Bible says, I will never leave nor forsake you. That's God's promise to each of us. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll never give up on you, is what God says. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let man give up on you, but God says, I will never give up on you. Hallelujah. Yes, I will never give up on you. So don't give up on God. Don't backslide. Don't check out of his house. Don't backslide. Do you understand? The reason why leaving church causes people to backslide is that sometimes when you unplug, plugging back in is complex. Even in another place. And you find people who leave a church and then they start roaming. They go, they said they are trying churches. Yeah, they are now testing and sampling churches. Do you get it? And they go here a little bit and they go there a little bit and go to the next place a little bit and go to the next place a little bit. And you find that you're not fitting anywhere. Why? Because every church is loaded with humans from whom all mistakes and offenses flow. Do you understand? Yes. Human beings are the ones who cause these offenses Jesus was talking about. Do you get it? And every church is filled with them. Every church is loaded with human beings. There is somebody in every church who is anointed enough to offend you. I'm telling you. There is no church that lacks somebody who is anointed, gifted, and talented enough to offend you. There is somebody who knows how to push your buttons in every place. Yes? So it's better to forgive and stay than to go to another place because you've been hurt. Do you understand? Yes, and such people, you see, they don't really join a church properly. I'm just sharing this from my experience with people. That I've seen that when people join a church, you see, because they were offended from the last church, it's only a matter of time before they leave this church too. You see, and so even me as a pastor, when I'm aware that somebody has left a church because they were offended, I'm very wary of that person. Because I know there's nothing that pastor is doing that I can't do. Does it make sense? There's nothing the pastor is doing to them that I can't do to them. Yeah. And if they left because of the preaching of the word of God, oh la la, that's what we do over here. It is our specialty. In your face type of preaching. So I know that such people won't last. Do you get it? Yes. And it's only a matter of time before you see they find some excuse. And so you see, he couldn't last in this church. Didn't last in that church. Didn't last in that church. Didn't last in that church. And you say the problem is the church? No. The problem is with the person who is common to all the churches. Yes. Because as we are changing the variables, the fixed factor being the same, you see that it is bringing us to the same place, which is that there's an offense, and there's this, and there's that. So people who can't stay in one church, it's a very bad sign. No, it's a very bad sign. Even for marrying, for choosing such a person to marry such a person, it's not a good sign. Yes. Had a reason he left here. Reason left here. Reason left here. No, it's not a good sign. Especially if you know you are not an angel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. That's why sometimes when you go to an interview, they want to know where you've worked and why you left. Yes, they want to know why you left. And sometimes as you narrate why you left, the interviewer is just saying, hey, all the things that have offended him are the things we are good at.
Hey! Well, the last place, you know, the clocking machine was not working very well. And then as you know, yours is broken. As we speak at the interview, our clocking machine is broken. You see, the last place, the vacation was the only 5 days or something. And you have about 4 days to offer. So you start to listen. And as the people said, the last place, well, I mean, they had to pay for everything, even the coffee machine. And then you are just thinking, there's no coffee machine even here. Yeah. So by the time the interview is over, they say, you will hear from us. You'll hear from us. Yes. Yes. And they wait a little bit to make sure you are securely in your house. Then they send you that email and say that we have more interviews to come. So you will hear from us. That's it. Doesn't happen. Hallelujah. Yes. So when you listen to somebody and the person said, I left this one because of this. I left it. So you say, you should be thinking, hey, you're in a habit of leaving people. That's it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding my little message? Yes. So let us rather develop stamina and learn to belong. Hallelujah. Yes. You should remember those good times also, like I said. Remember the good times also. So yes, when it was your birthday, they didn't call you and so on. But when it was your baby shower, they gave you gifts. You see, you need to balance the things like that. Yes. You get it? Yes. When you were sick, nobody called you. That's true. But when you didn't have a car, they also gave you a ride. That's also true. John Jack, somebody wants you to know and remember that he gave you a ride. I don't know who it is. I just heard a voice from the back. Hallelujah. Because there is nobody who is all just evil and all just faults. Do you understand? Yes. On these faulty trees grow fruits also that are a blessing. The tree that litters your yard is also the tree that gives you the fruit you enjoy. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So keep your focus on the right thing. Just remember that we may have offended you or we may have dropped the ball on you, but there are many other ways that we have also served you and been a blessing to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. We also served you and been a blessing to you, been a family to you. A family. That's one of the values that God has given us. One of the great blessings we have in our church is that sense of family and community. Do you get it? Yes. That you have a pastor who is willing to wait and, you know, a pastor whom you don't pay anything to and he has 2 hours for just you. As you go on and on and on and on about the thing that is not changing. Anyway, hallelujah. I think it's time to close. Yeah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. Learn to be a person who forgives, rather than one who just moves on every time there's an offense. Do you get it? Because you'll be running around forever because you are dealing with something that Jesus says it's impossible to live without.
Do you see?
Yeah. So you have to grow in your ability to accommodate. Do you see? Your ability to forgive. You have to grow in your ability to overlook. That needs to develop, rather than your ability to step away. Otherwise, one day you will find yourself stepping away even from your own family. Yeah, you walk away from your wife, you walk away from your children, you walk away from your husband, you walk away from your children. Yes, you will just find yourself walking away. Hallelujah. But that's not how God meant it to be. The Bible says God sets the solitary in families. Do you see? He doesn't just place them there. He sets them there. When something is set there, it's like it's glued to the place. It's not supposed to be moved. When God places you in a family, it is permanent. Do you understand? Yes, it's permanent. God gives you the features of the family. It's meant to be permanent. Do you understand? Yeah. He gives you their skin color. He gives you their hair color. He gives you their height. Gives you their nose. Because he intends for you to identify with them forever. Such that when people even take one look at you, they know who your dad is. That's family. That's how it is. Amen. So I want you to pray today and say to the Lord, Lord, help me to remain with the family that you have given me. Help me not to be offended in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray and ask God to help you. Say, Lord, please help me in the day of offense. In the day of offense. In the day that something offends me, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to survive. Help me, Lord, to endure. Help me to be able to forgive multiple offenses. Help me to be able to forgive multiple offenses. Jesus said, seven times in one day. Seven times in one day. God, help us in the name of Jesus. Father, help us in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I'm walking in your love. Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, both hands and sing, breathe upon me, breath of God, breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord, as I lift my hands in surrender to your Most High, I'm yielding, for I'm yielding to
your spirit, and I'm walking in your love, Jesus. Jesus, I adore your holy name. For I'm yielding to your spirit. I am yielding, oh Lord. I am yielding to your spirit. And I'm walking in. Jesus, I adore. Oh, Jesus, I adore. Jesus, Jesus, I adore your holy name.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, as we close the service, maybe you're with us, perhaps online, and you know in your heart that you're not saved. I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with us that will save your soul and deliver you from going to hell when you die. Jesus loves you, and he has given himself for you so that you don't have to pay for your own sins. So let's pray and ask Jesus to come into our hearts. Everybody say with me, Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner and you died for my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord.